like that. But she did. What a blessing. She has a blank check to come whenever she feels like coming. What a blessing. What a blessing. Let's get to it. The great controversy. Shall we pray? Lord God, speak to your people now and to those watching online. Also speak. In Jesus' name, amen. I've become much more conscious, little deviation at the beginning, of the power of the streaming. An experience I had this past week, got a call from Pastor Pooler in South Carolina, pastor of the Columbia, South Carolina church. Sitting in his office was Kwon Yo. Kwon Yo is a Korean gentleman. Kwon Yo has been watching my preaching online now for several years. And testified to Pastor Pooler that those sermons brought him to Christ. And then in addition, he said that he used those sermons to learn to speak English. Wow. And so, Pastor Pooler handed the phone to Kwon. And this past week, I talked to this gentleman from South Korea on the phone. Welcomed him to the fellowship of Christian faith. He's not a Seventh-day Adventist yet, but at least he's found Christ. Amen. I'm saying all this to say that when we come to you, when we will be coming to you for more money, more what?
Money.
More what?
Money.
To improve our streaming system so that we can reach more and more people. I expect you to just reach in, grab the rent money, and put it in, because the best investment we can make today is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was weak, but I'll help you out. Amen. Amen. Kwon Yo, what a story. What a story. The Bible says in Revelation, the 12th chapter, and verse 7 through 9, These words. The brother read them very well. Revelation 12. Now you need to understand the context here. By the time you have flowed to the 12th chapter, the first half of the book of Revelation is ending. Everything after chapter 12 will be a repeat and fill in of those things from chapter 1 through 12. You follow me? Nothing really new is introduced after chapter 12. It's just a filling in, as you'll see next week when I preach out of Revelation 13. Some have said that chapter 12, Sanjay, is a summary of the entire plan of salvation. But particularly a summary of the great controversy. The great what? Because in this chapter is introduced an amazing concept to me, one which my mind yet struggles to embrace. War in heaven? I don't see how you can sit there so calm. Heaven's this place you say you want to go to. And yet the record declares in very clear words, and war broke out where?
In heaven.
No beating around the bush. They were fighting in heaven. You're still too relaxed for me. Fighting, war in heaven. I have no I cannot, Pastor Chris, get my mind to embrace how angels fight. I know there was this one angel that killed 180,000 Assyrians. I know that. Some bad brothers. One angel guarded the Garden of Eden with a sword. Nobody went by it. The angels of the Lord encamp. Wait a minute. Around about them that fear him. Oh. I have an angel beside me that can fight. Oh, shoot, y'all. Come on. I've named him, by the way. His name is Saldanius. Do not mess with me. Saldanius will fix you. Fighting angels. Angels can fight. I don't know how they did their lightning bolts. I don't know. Thought projections. I don't know. But they fought. The man read it. Fought with the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought. So it was fighting both sides, fighting. In fact, in the book, Story of Redemption, Ellen White lets us into the war. She says at one point, the devil had 50%, not one third, 50% of the angels were on the devil's side. He finally only got one third, which means there are some converted angels in heaven. I'll just preach to myself now because y'all just sitting there. I'll enjoy this myself. There are angels up there that know what it is to change their mind. There are redeemed angels in heaven. I hope one of those boys has been assigned to me. He can understand me better. Can I get a witness in this place? So they fought, and the great dragon was cast. He lost. The devil lost. You should have said amen. I said the devil lost. But the problem is, verse 9 keeps talking. If it just said the devil lost, okay. But the text has the nerve to say he was cast out to the earth. That's where you live. So suddenly I'm not just reading the Bible common anymore. I'm saying, what? He's here. Somebody say he's here. Cast out here. And then the Bible has the nerve to say in verse 12, like it's rubbing it in, therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you that dwell in them. You know what I'm saying? Wait a minute here. What about us down here? And then the Bible says, woe! Are y'all reading this Bible with me? To the inhabitants of the earth. And I'm saying, y'all having a party and I'm having hell? Come on now, really. But the war was of such intensity, the devil lost. He wound up here. I'll come to that in a minute. He wound up here. War in heaven. That's the place you sing about in this sweet mind by. When the roller's caught up yonder, I'll be there. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. They fought up there in Zion. The Bible is presenting, listen to me, the Bible is presenting the terribleness of sin. Sin even infected heaven. What makes you think you can handle it on earth? And sin was so abominable to God that the Bible declares he kicked it out. Unfortunately, it came here. First quarter, we preached on ready for challenges. Second quarter, ready to proclaim. Third quarter, ready to stand in the midst of the war. Are you with me so far? This book, Patriarchs and Prophets, page 42, says, even when Satan was cast out of heaven, infinite wisdom did not destroy Satan. Had he been immediately blotted out of existence, and some of you have wrestled with that, some would have served God from fear rather than love. Are you with God? God is what?
Love.
Talk to me. God is what?
Love.
He always deals that way for the good of the entire, for the good of the entire universe through the ceaseless ages. He, Satan, must fully develop his principles. That is, we must come to see what a fool he is and how wise God is. And you're going to learn before the sermon is over that some things you're doing, you're declaring, you're not convinced yet that Satan is a fool. I'm reading that his charges against the divine government might be seen in their true light by all created beings, and that the justice and mercy of God and the immutability of his law might be forever placed beyond all question. So the war is about God's character. The war is about something else, too. The tone is set. Two main antagonists, Michael, the heavenly name for Jesus, and Lucifer, Christ, Satan. And then, in case we're not sure who he is, the Bible just tells on him very clearly. It says here in verse 9, so the great dragon was cast out. That serpent of old, you see it? Called what? Devil. Every name the Bible can think of, it uses in this verse. Devil and Satan, who deceives, we'll come back to that, deceives the whole world. Well, he arrives here. He arrives where?
Here.
Genesis 3. Genesis 3. You're turning to Genesis 3. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we can eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, we shall not eat it, neither shall we touch it, lest we die. Hear me. The war has just transferred. Where is it now? On the earth. That's where you live. The war is here. Serpent said, ye shall not surely die. The day that you eat thereof, you'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, when the woman saw the tree that it was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, the tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, gave to her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew what? They were buck naked. The war has come here. Stay with the pastor. The war is here. Now, here's what I found interesting in the light of things going on now in the world. Go, if you will, to Genesis 2. Let me do a little teaching. Genesis 2 introduces the creation of the Garden of Eden, verse 10. You see it there? Now, a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and the onyx stones are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. That's the Nile. It is the one which goes forth the whole land of Cush. That's Africa. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. That's the Tigris River. It is the one which goes forth from Assyria. The fourth river is the? Where are those rivers? Where are those rivers? In the Middle East. Now, we don't know for sure where the Garden of Eden was. But I find it interesting that these four rivers, at least two of them, are still found in the Middle East. And proof that most people lived there is the fact that most oil is there. You do know what oil is. The decomposed bodies of biological material. Which means when the flood came, most people lived where? In the Middle East. Now stay with me. The war's here. Chris, it's here. Pastor, it's here. War is here, Pastor Audley. And then the war has found a stage. The stage is the Middle East. Where's the stage? How do I know this? When the flood was over, the ark settled where? Mount Ararat. Where's that? In Turkey, the northern part of the Middle East. When Jesus was born, where was he born? In Bethlehem. Where is that? In Palestine. Where's Palestine? In the Middle East. In fact, if you study the Bible, you would declare the Lord. Hey, everybody's awake. The Lord has never done anything to save mankind that he didn't do in the Middle East. Zechariah declares when the Lord comes back, he will put his foot on the Mount of Olives, which is in Jerusalem, which is in the Middle East. So the Middle East is kind of like a stage. Every time the Lord wants to catch the attention of believers, he makes some special move in the Middle East. That's why I paid attention last week when there was a coup in Turkey. Every time the Lord tickles the belly of the Middle East and it hiccups more trouble and devastation, I'm asking, what is God saying? He's always done something over there to save mankind. The war has found a stage, and the stage is in the Middle East. Do I have your attention? Something else peculiar there. In the book of Genesis, the 16th chapter, the Bible describes the birth of Ishmael. Remember him? He was the first son of Abraham. Come on, folk, wake up. He was the first son of Abraham. Now, Ishmael was not supposed to be born. Isaac was God's plan. Ishmael was Abraham and Sarai's plan. Later on, Isaac was born. Now, after Isaac was born, there got to be some tension developing between the two women in one house. Two women in one house. Just whispering amen. Two women in one house. And I found it interesting that there's this tension now between the wife who should be and the son who should be and the wife who shouldn't be and the son who shouldn't be. See, there's always tension in your life between the stuff that should be and the stuff that shouldn't be. Pastor's preaching a bit right now. Well, the wife that shouldn't be, the wife that should be, got upset with the wife that shouldn't be and sent the wife who shouldn't be and the son who shouldn't be out. And so Hagar is out there by herself. She's with child. You're with child. Hagar hasn't had the baby yet. Getting ahead of myself, chapter 16. And the Bible makes a prediction about this Ishmael boy. Verse 12, he shall be what? Huh? Shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man. Every man's hand against him. He will dwell in the presence of all the brethren. The descendants of Ishmael will be people who can't get along with other people. Now Isaac, who was born later, he became the father of the Jews. Ishmael became the father of the Arabs. Later on, Isaac has two sons. His sons are Jacob and Esau. Remember that? Well, if you read your Bible carefully, you find out that Esau marries a daughter of Ishmael. So Esau's line and Ishmael's line join. And Isaac's line and Jacob's line join. So you have these two strong lines living in the. Have you noticed something, or are you asleep every day? Have you noticed who can't get along in the Middle East? Come on, somebody, talk to me. And have you noticed that every time they can't get along, the whole world pays attention? The Russians come running, the Americans come running, the French come running, the English come running. We come running to the Middle East to keep peace there because of the oil there. But there's something else going on there. I wish you would read your Bible sometime. You'd discover that there's a tension there that was predicted in Genesis. He says, they will not get along. Why, that's my stage of the great controversy. So the war starts in heaven, and the war comes to the Garden of Eden, and the war comes to the Middle East. And you know, it's interesting about the Middle East. I mean, there's always some confusion going on over there. And my wife and I are soon going to take a trip going overseas, celebrate 50 years of marriage. So we're going to do a cruise down the Danube River. And as I was making the flight plans, you get influenced. Making the flight plans, I'm watching, where are these planes landing? Yes. Sister, I will tell you, yesterday I changed the flight. I called up the travel agency. I said, why are we stopping in Brussels? I'm not landing in Brussels. Did I not say it, Sister Wright? You have to change this flight. Why? There are people who visit there from. Elder? We are right now, there's no escape. I rearranged the flight, so now we're going through Germany, and then the bombs go off in Munich yesterday. You cannot win! Because, hey, the great controversy is here. Yeah. Somebody say it's here. Yeah. There's no escape. And you need to understand that this earth, this planet, we've been reading about in the book of Revelation, we are the heart of the battle. It came here. The most important thing to Satan is that nobody on earth escape from him. So in the Middle East, the forming of the state of Israel, confusion, wars between Israel and the Arabs, confusion, Iran's change from a dictatorship to Muslim rule, confusion, the fall of Saddam Hussein, confusion, the coup in Egypt when the Muslims came to power briefly, confusion. Most of those who caused 9/11 came from Saudi Arabia, confusion, the rise of Al-Qaeda, confusion, the rise of ISIS, Middle East, confusion. This last week's coup in Turkey, Middle East, confusion, a great controversy is taking place on this planet, and Satan has one objective, to be sure that the children of Adam and Eve, the sons of Jacob and Isaac, never see the kingdom of glory. For those of us who are the faithful, we are the seed of Abraham. He's determined you're not making it, but I've made up my mind. Hey, I've made up my mind. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the rivers of water, I'm going in. Some of you who have studied the seven last plagues know that the sixth plague pictures a battle around the Vale of Megiddo, an actual valley in the Middle East. War in heaven came to earth. War on earth started in the Garden of Eden. The war spread from there to many nations. But the war runs deeper. I need 5 more minutes. I'm going to use it whether you give me permission or not. I ain't worried about no war in heaven now. That's over. Jesus won. He kicked behind. That's Christian language. I'm not worried about war in the Middle East because it no longer is here. It was taken up before the flood. Read Patriarchs and Prophets. Spiritual Gifts, Volume 1. I'm not really worried about war in the Middle East. I don't live there. Affected by it, I don't live there. I'm worried about the war described in Romans 7. Go there with me. Romans 7. This is the war that will make or break Henry Wright. Well, we know verse 14, the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Let's break it down. I'm flesh, sold unto sin. I am flesh, and I am a servant of sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. You see, you've inherited stuff from grandma and grandpa, from parents, that you can't put your finger on. You just know that sometimes you don't act right. Sometimes your mind goes jelly. Sometimes your temperament gets out of control. Sometimes you lose your control of yourself. You just know that sometimes you don't feel like doing right. You don't know why, but you know there's something within. For what I will do, that I do not practice. Sit in church, revival, week of prayer, read a text, have worship, make up a mind, fall on my knees, cry to God for help and say, I will not do it again. By Tuesday, I'm doing it again. Now we're talking about the great controversy. Let's forget about Christ and Satan. Let's bring this whole thing home to Henry Wright. My mind, my life, my heart, my vows, my struggle. And I can't seem to win. And then I hear Paul crying, hey, Henry, you cannot win, but you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Ask, it shall be given. Knock, it shall be opened up. You're not praying enough. You're not trusting enough. The problem is that you have not gotten a hold of him that's already beat the devil. Let him win the battle. And so he writes. Verse 17. It's no longer I that do it, but sin. But what?
Sin.
But what?
Sin.
That dwells in me. My mind is a battleground. My mind is a war zone. My feelings have become fodder for the devil because the Bible declares in that very passage we read to begin that the devil goes out to deceive. He does not beat you with liquor. He does not beat you with cigarettes. He does not beat you with carousing. He just confuses your mind. So you don't believe that Jesus can do it. You got to say, Lord, I can't. You can. By your power, I will be saved. I will be a conqueror. Stop being a mamby-pamby, yellow-spined Christian. Straighten your back. He
that is in me is greater than he that's in the world. I'm on the winning side. I know nothing in me is good. Nothing good dwells, for the will is present with me. How to perform what is good, I can't do it. For the good I do, I don't do. The evil I don't want to do, I do. All right, that's enough, Paul. Give me a headache. I've been there. You've been there. Yet drunks get sober. Come on now. Thieves become church treasurers. Prostitutes become deacons. Somebody say amen out there. The worst fellows in town become preachers of the gospel. I remember preaching my first sermon in Germantown, Ohio, coming back from Oakwood, and got done preaching. Little deaconess came through the line, looked at me and said, "Son, I remember you. There must be a God somewhere." I can declare there is a God somewhere, and he lives in me. Come on, somebody. The great controversy is not about the big global cosmic stuff, Carl. The great controversy is about me and Jesus every day fighting it out. Determine, I will not. And when you fall, get up. When you mess up, tell it like it is. Try it one more time. Do not let the devil think he's got you down. You have got a victory. We read it. We read it for the baby blessing. I saw you, a number which no man can number, standing on the sea of glass. Why not you? Why not you? Why not you? Victorious, a winner. You've settled the great controversy in your own life, in your own mind, in your own heart, in your own thoughts. In Numbers 1:9, scratch it. Nahum 1:9 declares, once the battle is won, hallelujah. Once the victory is gained, Nahum 1:9 says, it shall not rise up the second time. If you can just win this time, and to make sure I know it can be done, the Lord sent his son Jesus. He wore Henry flesh. He got tired like Henry. He had mean folks treat him mean like Henry has. He had times when folks disappointed him like Henry has. And he showed me in human flesh, we can win. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm a winner. Oh, that was pitiful. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm a winner. We're winners, Broussard. God bless you, boy. We're winners. We can do it. You can rear him to the glory of God, Natasha. Be all right. You and your husband can go in. Chris, you and Amber, that baby comes, get yourself ready for a white robe. We're going to give you a size L. XLL. God is able. The great controversy is soon to be over. No more war. No more struggle. No more tired days. No more worn out feet. No more backache. No more headache. Come on, somebody. The war is going to be won. Come on now.
To trust in Jesus.
He's the winner.
Just to take him at his word.
Sing it.
Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know the said the
call his name together.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Did you come here today feeling a little beat up? A little beat down? Kind of disappointed? Not feeling real positive about yourself? The battle has been won. Listen to the pastor. See, Joel, it's not about losing a battle. It's about winning the war. If you study history, nations that ultimately win the war in the process lost some battles. Lost your temper this week, lost the battle. War ain't over. Person cut in front of you, the freeway, and you said unprintable things to them, you just lost the battle. Didn't lose the war. Children got on your last nerve, and you reminded them that you that brought them in will right now take them out. That's all right. Is that all right, sis?
Yes.
The Lord put that in the sermon just for you. You just lost a battle, that's all. You got to hang in, Sandra, because God has already won the war. When the people march in, every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, through the gates of glory, you're going in. Hey, you're going in. You've been fit for a white robe. Your slippers have already been designed. Your mansion is about to have your name put there. Don't let the devil deceive you into anything else but that you're going to heaven with Jesus Christ. Let's sing that next verse.
Oh, how sweet
to trust in Jesus.
To trust in Jesus.
Just to take.
Just to trust. His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing,
yes,
cleansing flood.
I want to hear you call His name again, Jesus.
Jesus,
Jesus,
how I trust. Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Today you'd like to come forward. Maybe to present yourself for transfer of membership. Maybe to present yourself for Bible studies. Maybe to come forward for baptism. Whatever your need. I'm going to ask you folk on the front row, if you can, just to move back. The Lord has spoken to your life and you want to come forward. I clear the row in faith. Maybe no one will come. That's between you and Jesus. I'm just doing what God called me to do. Give you the opportunity. I say it again. You want to transfer to this church? You want to study the Bible? You want to prepare for baptism? I invite you to come. Let's claim that last verse, I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee. While we're singing, if you want to come, just come.
I'm so glad I learned to trust Him. Just Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know.
everybody.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I proved You o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Just the piano now. Thank you, Anwar. Beautiful. Beautiful. Somebody else want to come? Rise, come. Let's pray. Lord, the great controversy got real personal in this sermon. Not about angels and the Son of God and the Father. It's not about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It's not about the sons of Isaac and Jacob and Ishmael and Esau. No, it's about Me. The great controversy is about Me. I'm winning battles, sometimes losing battles, but You've promised me victory in the war. These precious ones have come forward for whatever reason. They're those sitting who should have come, Thou knowest. What I want You to do, Lord, today in this prayer is just blot out our transgressions and give me a fresh start in the war. I want to forget about last week. Some things happened last week that should not have happened. I want a fresh start.
Yes, Jesus.
In the war. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me. And when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Bless us to this end. Hold us to this end. In the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Amber, let's use as our closing song the same hymn. Just stand and sing, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus.
'Tis so sweet. 'Tis so sweet.